They are armed, sometimes heavily, but how dangerous are they? Some militia groups have formed in large numbers around the country. The Southern Poverty Law Center found anti-government militia groups grew by more than a third last year. We talked about that with some of the groups themselves based right here in Georgia last month, and tensions tied to the election have empowered some to be a little more outspoken. New York Times reporter David Zucchino recently visited the Georgia Security Force. That's one of our state's most vocal militia groups, and David joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Celeste.
Why the Georgia Security Force? Why did you focus on that one?
Well, I had called around to many militias and various so-called 3% groups and other extremist groups. The idea was to try to get with one of these groups and spend some time with them and just listen to them, let them talk, find out what motivates them, why they say the things that they do and do the things they do. And many of the militias that I contacted just didn't respond at all. Some said, we don't talk to the news media. And finally, I ended up with the Georgia Security Force. They said, yeah, you can come on down. We're having what they call a field training exercise where they go out and do these sort of paramilitary drills and do live fire exercises. So that's how I ended up with them.
So let's hear a little bit. This is from a video posted last year by the Georgia Security Force. This was one of the groups that protested the building of a mosque here in Noonan, Georgia, earlier this year. In this video, they're speaking to ISIS. They're declaring war on ISIS.
We are the predators, you the prey. The rivers will run red with the blood of those who target Americans. May you hear the rolling thunder of vengeance, and may it strike fear into the hearts of those who terrorize in the name of the false god Allah. We are coming for you, ISIS. You don't f*** with our Marines.
So you mentioned 3% militia. What does that mean first? What is a 3% group?
These groups believe that only 3% of the colonists actually took up arms and fought in the Revolutionary War. Now, historians say that's not correct, but it's very useful for these groups. I mean, their whole mentality is wrapped around a small but dedicated few people with weapons can overcome tyranny, and tyranny they define very broadly.
Why would a group like this Georgia Security Force think that it is on them to declare a war on ISIS? In other words, where's the place for the U.S. military among a group like this?
Yeah, exactly. And it's ironic because Chris Hill, who is the leader of this group, who formed this group, is a Marine veteran. And a lot of the things they do are sort of predicated on Marine basic training. They feel that with particularly a Democratic administration and someone like Hillary Clinton or even under President Obama, that the military is not effective. The military will not protect them, and they have to take up arms on their own to protect what they call our way of life.
So let's hear a comment from Ryan Lenz. He's a senior writer for the Southern Poverty Law Center. He's also editor of the Hate Watch blog. And he's talking about how this election may influence the growth or shrinkage, I guess, of militias.
In times of Democratic presidencies, militia groups tend to skyrocket. We saw that with the election of President Barack Obama. Anti-government groups, of which militias are a part, rose to historic levels, upwards of over 1,200 groups in the nation. So it really all depends on which direction the people that populate these militias feel the country is going. Is it going in the direction of the federal government coming for our guns in the wake of all these mass shootings?
What did you hear from those you spoke to, David? Because some people say that the militia groups are racially motivated, and this sounds like Ryan Lenz of the Southern Poverty Law Center is hinting that it's actually Democrats they're worried about because of gun policies. What is it? What is at the heart of it?
For this particular group, their number one issue is guns, and they are convinced that if Hillary Clinton is elected, that she will, quote, come for our guns. And I asked them, well, you said the same thing about President Obama. You know, he hasn't come to take your guns. And they said, well, that's only because we have gotten out our weapons. We have been very visible. We've been vigilant, and we've managed to fight him off. Now we're going to have to fight off Hillary Clinton. Their other big issue is Muslims. They're extremely Islamophobic. They have a lot of hate talk directed at Muslims and particularly Syrian refugees. They are convinced that Syrian refugees are hiding ISIS members, and that any Syrians who have gotten in have set up secret training camps around the U.S. And their third issue, I would say, is immigration in general. They're very much for building a wall across the Mexican border. They say immigrants come and take their jobs and threaten their way of life.
In the piece, you quote one of the militia members saying, "We won't fire first." What does that mean?
They call themselves a defensive militia. They say that they would not take the weapons out and fire at anyone, that they would fire only if attacked. And I had an interesting experience as soon as I got there. It was on a Friday evening. They had set up what they called a checkpoint, and it was on a driveway on private property, but it was right next to a highway. And apparently somebody had called in and complained that there was a bunch of guys walking around with loaded weapons. So two sheriff's deputies pulled up and sort of half blocked the highway with their cars, got out behind their doors, had their automatic rifles ready, and were obviously very concerned about these guys running around with guns, and yelled through the loudspeaker saying, "Put down the guns." And this group was very agitated and complained about their Second Amendment rights. They eventually put their guns down and talked to the officers, and everything was okay. But then when I talked to them after, they said, "Look, you can see now people, even the local sheriff's deputies are after our guns. People don't want us to have guns, and we've got to fight for our rights."
I mean, I have to wonder how you felt going in here. I mean, we just saw photos yesterday of a shirt that up until, I guess, a few hours ago was being sold on Zazzle, where it said "Rope, Tree, Journalist, Some Assembly Required." How did you feel? Did you feel safe going to report on this story?
I felt safe, but it was a little unnerving getting into this kind of paranoid mentality, this sort of alternative reality that these people live in. And I was very aware that they are highly critical of the news media. I had several of them tell me, you know, the news media is part of the whole Clinton campaign. They want Hillary to win. They've helped rig the election. No offense to you personally.
But you're with the New York Times. You're
right,
one of the more hated...
Well, yeah, the New York Times and CNN seem to be their big targets. And they said, "Well, you know, you're talking to us now. I know you're going to twist our words." You know, I tried to say, "I'm here just to listen to you." And my feeling is all I have to do is quote them directly, and that'll take care of it. People can judge for themselves. I don't think I need to twist their words.
So we spoke with Charles Keith Cottle, who's a militia member in the Southeast, and he admits there are a few rare members that take the ideology too far.
There are radicals out there that, like anything, like one cop can give up a bunch of cops a bad name. We all know that, you know, one bad apple doesn't reflect that of the entire police department or the entire militia, and occasionally that will happen with anything, but we try our best to prevent it in advance.
What did you hear in terms of, I guess, what this militia does to limit far what he's talking about, radicals, to keep things under control and calm?
I will say that they were very, very focused on gun safety, and they went through a whole lot of safety measures before they even started firing. In fact, they walked through these drills four or five times without weapons. They said that anyone who had whose weapon went off accidentally would be asked to leave. So from that point of view, I think they are safety-oriented. Now, as far as somebody taking a gun on their own and doing something, I have no idea. I did check with the sheriff's offices in two of the counties around there, and they were aware of this group, but they said they aren't aware of any of the members being arrested or convicted on any criminal charges.
What kind of steps is the sheriff's office taking, if any, to make sure things stay calm and reasonable surrounding Election Day?
Well, I talked to only two of them, and they said they're not taking any particular they're not monitoring these groups or investigating these groups, but they are obviously any group with guns they would keep an eye on. They said if they're in this case, they were on 14 acres of private property. They all had permits, and so in this case, they, according to the sheriff's office, they're not breaking any laws, and they have the right to go out and fire their weapons as long as they do it safely.
My guest is reporter David Zucchino. We're talking about an increase in militia activity here in Georgia. So the first thing I thought when I saw your piece, David, was, oh man, come on, this isn't all of Georgia. Like, people are going to see this article in the New York Times and think that Georgia is becoming a militia state. We are talking about a very tiny minority of Georgia citizens, are we not?
Oh, I would think so. Yeah, I would never say that this group represents all Georgians or all Americans. They are an extreme slice of the Trump support, and that was the idea behind the story, was to go look at the extreme supporters of Donald Trump and see what's motivating them, what they like about Trump, why they like Trump, and which way they see the country going. But in no way would they represent all people in Georgia. They are on the extreme fringe.
But did you get insight into why we have had, I think it's fair to say, relatively explosive growth in the number of militias in our nation, not just in Georgia, but in other places as well, since the election of Barack Obama?
Yeah, as I said, they have this very paranoid outlook, apocalyptic outlook, particularly if there is a, quote, liberal in the White House. They believe they are on their own. They've been forgotten, that no one will protect them unless they protect themselves.
Okay, so what insights did you come away with that perhaps were surprising to you? Did anything come as unexpected?
One thing that surprised me a bit is that, for one thing, they're not particularly enamored of Republican, so-called establishment Republicans, highly critical of them as well as with Democrats. And they, even a few of them, said they didn't like some of the things Donald Trump has done, and they particularly mentioned his comments or his attitudes and treatment of women. But on the other hand, they said they loved him for his anti-establishment views. They love the fact that he's demonized Muslims as terrorists, that he wants to keep out all Muslims, and that he wants to keep out all or wants to limit immigration. I mean, that was really what motivated them in terms of their support for Donald Trump.
Okay, that kind of relates to another thing that Ryan Lenz said. Again, Lenz is a senior writer for the Southern Poverty Law Center and editor of the Hate Watch blog.
The militias are built up for the purposes of giving a solution to everyone's fear that the federal government or that the systems that surround us will collapse. But there's an additional element to that collapse that is largely part of like the ideology, which is that the federal government is a tyrannical force seeking to undermine the American people or keep them as sheep or American citizen, quote unquote, prisoners.
So what do they mention how whether or not they're willing to actually fight American law enforcement or American military?
Oh, absolutely. If they came, quote, to take our guns, I mean, there's a bit of a survivalist mentality or undercurrent with this group, and part of their exercises are being able to survive in the woods, you know, with their own water and their own generators. If, you know, the tyrannical government comes and takes over and law and order breaks down. Several of them mentioned that Hillary Clinton would send U.N. troops to come disarm them.
We should mention that doesn't make any
sense. That makes absolutely no
sense.
That's what they believe, and I tried to get them to explain how that might possibly happen, but I didn't get any clear answers. And Ryan Lenz mentioned the sheep. I heard that a lot, that other people are sheep. People who don't go out and take up guns to protect themselves are sheep, and they are the lions, and they're going to protect themselves and American values and the Constitution. Many of them carry little copies of the Constitution in their pockets.
In the minute that we have left, David, did you feel more concerned when you left, or did you feel relieved now that you had a better understanding?
A little bit of both. I mean, I'm concerned that there are 276 militias out there, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, at least, and these are armed paramilitary groups, and it concerns me that there are that many people out armed and ready ready to use their weapons if they think they are in some way attacked or marginalized. But on the other hand, these people are sort of everyday working Americans. Most of these people have jobs or they are retired and seem to like to come out on weekends and just fire their guns and run through the woods. And so I'm just hoping that's a lot of what this is about. And it was a sort of a social event, too. They all knew each other, and they get together like roughly once a month and do this. So I'm hoping some of it is just going out in the woods and shooting guns and socializing, and that they would not carry out some of the threatening talk that you hear from them.
David Zucchino is a reporter for The New York Times. You'll find a link to his article on Georgia's militias at gpbnews.org. David, thank you.